His mother packed him a lunch for the trip, but she wouldn't give him any money when he asked. Not even a nickel for one of the private changing stalls which lined the ocean side of the Midway. And almost before Bobby realized it was happening, they were having what he most dreaded, an argument about money. 50 cents would be enough, Bobby said. He heard the baby whine in his voice, hated it, couldn't stop it. Just half a rock? Come on, Mom, what do you say? Be a sport. She lit a cool, striking the match so hard it made a snapping sound, and looked at him through the smoke with her eyes narrowed. You're earning your own money now, Bob. Most people pay 3 cents for the paper, and you get paid for reading it. $1 a week, my God, when I was a girl. Mom, that money's for my bike, you know that. She had turned to the mirror, frowning and fussing at the shoulders of her blouse. Mr. Biderman had asked her to come in for a few hours, even though it was Saturday. Now she turned back, cigarette still clamped between her lips, and bent her frown on him. You're still asking me to buy you that bike, aren't you? Still. I told you I couldn't afford it, but you're still asking. No, I'm not. I'm not either. Bobby's eyes were wide with anger and hurt. Just a lousy half rock for the half a buck here, 2 bits there. It all adds up, you know. What you want is for me to buy you that bike by handing you the money for everything else. Then you don't have to give up any of the other things you want. That's not fair. He knew what she would say before she said it. He even had time to think that he had walked right into that one. Life's not fair, Bobby-o. Turning back to the mirror for one final pluck at the ghost of a slip strap hovering beneath the right shoulder of her blouse. A nickel for the changing room? Bobby asked. Couldn't you at least? Yes, probably. Oh, I imagine, she said, clipping off each word. She usually put rouge on her cheeks before going to work, but not all the color in her face this morning came out of a powder box, and Bobby, angry as he was, knew he'd better be careful. If he lost his temper the way she was capable of losing hers, he'd be here in the hot, empty apartment all day, forbidden to so much as step out into the hall. His mother snatched her purse off the table by the end of the couch, butted out her cigarette hard enough to split the filter, then turned and looked at him. If I said to you, gee, we can't eat this week because I saw a pair of shoes at Hunsicker's that I just had to have, what would you think?
I'd think you were a liar, Bobby thought, and I'd say if you're so broke, Mom, what about the Sears catalog on the top shelf of your closet, the one with the dollar bills and the $5 bills, even a 10 or two, taped to the underwear pages in the middle? What about the blue pitcher in the kitchen dish cabinet? The one tucked all the way in the back corner behind the gravy boat with the crack in it? The blue pitcher where you put your spare quarters, where you've been putting them ever since my father died? And when the pitcher's full, you roll the quarters and take them to the bank and get bills, and the bills go into the catalog, don't they? The bills get taped to the underwear pages of the wish book. But he said none of this, only looked down at his sneakers with his eyes burning.